Hello, everybody. Today's chapter is Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone. But go, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" And when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. Having just finished the Sermon on the Mount in the previous three chapters, Jesus picks up in Matthew's gospel account where he left off before the Sermon on the Mount, by healing many people. The end of Matthew 4 was about Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God and healing all diseases, and large crowds from all over coming to follow him. And at the start of this chapter, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. There's a variety of healing we see Jesus perform in this chapter. It's amazing to think that this is just a sample of the healing that Jesus performed. Matthew and the other gospel writers must have had a lot to write about, and they could only highlight a limited amount of what Jesus did. But we see here Jesus healing a leper who comes to him, then Jesus healing a centurion's servant who who he does not even personally see. Because of the centurion's great faith, at Jesus' word, the servant is made well. And lastly, in verse 14, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. That same evening, Jesus casts out spirits from many demon-possessed people. And Matthew says this in verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Usually we think of this verse just in the context of the cross, where Jesus took on all the disease of sin for all humanity. But even before the cross, we see how Jesus brought so much healing, physically and spiritually. Through healing physical diseases and casting out demons, Jesus demonstrates what the kingdom of God looks like, a kingdom of wholeness in every way. We can say he was bringing into effect the Beatitudes, which he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, where the down and outs of the world are comforted and blessed because of Jesus' healing presence now. All this brings us to verses 18 to 22, which is about the cost of following Jesus. Amidst all the healing that we see Jesus dispensing, physically and spiritually, pointing to the kingdom of God, amassing great crowds who want to follow him, it's quite sobering that we get these verses about the cost of following Jesus. Verse 18 says that the setting is when a great crowd is around him, and he directs his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. Or in the rest of the chapter, we see them go through that lake. We see them go through a storm that Jesus calms, and where Jesus heals the two men with demons in a dramatic encounter on the other side. Again, a great crowd is around him, likely amazed by the healing and his message. It's in this setting that we see this first interaction. A scribe came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It's most likely not the response the scribe was hoping to hear. The scribe was excited, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you will go." In other words, "There's nowhere I won't go to be with you, Jesus." But Jesus tells him that it is not a glamorous life, a glamorous way to live, to follow Jesus. It will be tough. It will not be comfortable. Foxes have holes and birds have their nests. These lowly creatures have places to rest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Therefore, the scribe, if he truly followed Jesus, would have to live a very humble life, literally relying on God to provide food and a place to sleep each night. Jesus, the Son of Man, by the world's standards, lived in poverty. The cost for the scribe would be giving up a life of comfort and financial security. And then we get the second interaction in verses 21 and 22, right after. Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Note that this was another of the disciples, people who were serious about following Jesus. Jesus also gives a sobering response to him about leaving the dead to bury their own dead. We don't know what the exact situation of the disciple was. For example, did his father just die? Was the father sick and close to death? Or was the father just old and maybe it was a couple years before he passed away? We don't know the exact situation, but Jesus calls the disciple to follow him, to not delay following him in order to tend to his father's burial. The cost for this disciple is deprioritizing his familial duty, giving up this custom that would have been expected by society to perform. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes jarring to read this response, which can be taken as kind of harsh. In both of these interactions, the first, a bold promise of following Jesus wherever he goes, and the second, a request to first take care of fulfilling a familial duty, Jesus is upfront about how he requires a dedication to him that trumps everything else. And of course, as his disciples, this is true for us as well. Following Jesus requires a dedication that takes precedence over everything else. There is a cost, if you will. We cannot live life as we want and follow Jesus. Truly following Jesus means choosing to not follow other things, including our own desires that are not from him. This is made clear throughout the Gospel of Matthew and throughout all of the Bible. The world and our flesh fight against this idea of following Jesus above all else. The world and our flesh say, why should you have to pay a cost to follow him? Why can't you just follow Jesus and do whatever you want? Let's ask for God's grace and for his spirit of love, power, and self-control to consider the cost of following Jesus and be willing to pay it. By the Holy Spirit, we can continually say yes to God and experience the exciting journey that he has planned for us. As Nikki Gumbel says in his Alpha Talk about having faith, the cost of following Jesus is nothing compared to the cost of not following him. The ironic reality is that when we try holding on to other things, like comfort or family first, those end up eluding us. But when we seek Jesus first, we experience true comfort and peace, and it's then that we're truly able to love our families and receive love from our families. So for you, is there a cost of following Jesus that comes to mind for you right now? Is there a choice that you have to make where you may be tempted to ask Jesus if you can do this first and then follow him? Let's pray that God brings clarity to those decisions and that he would help us to say, yes, God, I have counted the cost and I choose to follow you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chapter and for this reminder that there is a cost in following you. Lord, sometimes it's comfort. Sometimes it's just the cost of giving up our own will or our own dreams or desires. But Lord, we know ultimately this is such a small cost to pay. Lord, there's so much, it's so worth it, God, to follow you. Lord, to trust that you paid the greatest price for us. You paid the greatest cost of your own life because you love us so much. So God, help us to trust you. Help us to trust you with the small and big decisions in our life where we would always choose you and know that there's nothing that we can sacrifice that's big enough or that makes following you not worth it. So Lord, we trust in you, pray that you would increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray.